Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this November 13th, 2023, 3:04 on the clock, got your host, James J. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Randy Paul.
Good afternoon, James, and a big shout-out to my cousin, Scott, who's listening from Colorado Springs today.
Right on. Hey, good morning. Good afternoon to cousin Scott. Yes.
Right? How exciting.
I appreciate you being here. I had to actually think about the time change there for a second. That's why I was thinking of that.
No, it's the morning. It's almost winter there already. Yeah.
We appreciate him and all of you out there listening. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have the fourth period coming up where we will be joined by GM and head coach for your Wisconsin Rapids River Canes, Coach Paul Peckman, going to join us. Looking forward to Coach Paul joining us. That's going to be fun. Randy's got some local coverage for us as well. We will get into our schedule here, and we're going to wrap up. Over the weekend, my papa passed away, my grandfather.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And thank you. And the boy, if there is anything you like about me, it comes from him, I'll tell you that. And him in part raising me and certainly raising me as a sports fan. So I want to wrap up today in honor of him with a little bit of Roberto Clemente facts.
Ah, fun.
That have nothing to do with anything. it's not even baseball season, but that was his favorite player. And I thought it'd be fun. And I actually thought I came across a couple things that I didn't even know.
Well, you know, it's kind of fun because last week we were talking a little bit about the Craig Council, you know, taking the job in Chicago, so it's only appropriate we do it 2 weeks in a row.
I do want to, you teed me up there, Randy, because while we're waiting for Coach to join us and everything, I did want to go start there because, of course, we had to wait a week to really talk about this. We did get to talk with our friend Mike Clemens when we talked sports with him on Fridays, previewing the Packer games and oftentimes the Badgers or Bucks. Got to talk with him a little bit about this, but I was curious to know, since we did have to wait a week, how the fan base would be, how the audience would be, and I wanted to hear from everybody, of course, about this. So 715-424-2600, call up and join the conversation. Randy and I talking a little bit about the council situation, because we've had a chance to talk about this a little bit, but I wanted to know how people, when they had a chance to step back and breathe, and there's a... The part of what gets you engaged to not only to care about sports, where you're spending a Sunday, your whole Sunday caring about it, or a beautiful summer day where you could be outside enjoying Mother Nature, but you are next to a radio or a TV because you've got to see how this game ends. Is this the bottom of the ninth and your team's tied up? All these things that bring us to sports are the same thing that can be the ugliest thing about sports. And I think we saw some of this, both sides of this, with the council situation. I did see some Brewer fans that were kind of ready to move on. That kind of like, you know, we've gone as far as we can with this coaching staff, with this team the way it is. It's time to really, truly, like, move on. And I actually saw that a little bit. I also saw, of course, some of the ugliness out of the fan base. I think the Wisconsin fan base, if you haven't grown up around here and lived here, you don't respect or understand how dedicated it is, how much it means. It's not just a sports team. It's an identity. It's something you care deeply about. It's something that goes deeper than I think that your average fan base can completely understand. I also think that has an ugly side to it. Like any knife, there are two, you know, like a lot of knives, there are two sides to it. I want to get into both sides, and I want to hear from you. So let's go ahead and take that call. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Greetings.
Not a lovely fall day.
Oh, yes. Sounds like they're going to get better as the days go by
here.
Yeah,
we got some 50s coming.
As long as the white stuff doesn't fly, that's all that matters.
Exactly. Yes. Couldn't agree more.
you know, you talk about the fan base, and, you know, here in Wisconsin, I don't think we get enough respect, you know, from the nation, you know, nation sports coverage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been to games, you know, college games, especially in the SEC, are brutal. Those fans are,
yeah,
they're more than passionate when it comes to their teams. I've been to a couple of the professional teams, the different areas, and I think Wisconsin fans have a lot of respect toward them. You know, you might have a few knuckleheads here and there, but man, it's night and day to what we have here in Wisconsin.
You know, it's interesting.
With a knucklehead.
You know what's interesting is that what I was thinking about this weekend, and just to build off what you're saying, is that, you know, the Bucks lost this weekend, the Badgers basketball team lost, the football team lost, the Packers lost. He was like living in Minnesota for a while there.
That's a good one, Randy. But then you look at the positive end of it. Both UW hockey teams are number one in the country.
Mm-hmm. And I think we replaced that Minnesota.
Just came out. So.
Yeah, there you go. So here's the thing, because I'm glad you touched on the respect end of this, because that's where I wanted to go eventually with the conversation. Because this news happens, and it's a big story, obviously, here in the Midwest. But out west, out east, down south, when they're talking about it, they're talking about basically the jilted lover. The idea that Council would leave Milwaukee for Chicago, et cetera, the storyline there, and just the low-hanging fruit of it. And then there was some stuff on social media that made the rounds of Craig Council Field and it being defaced.
Yep.
And some things like that. And so that's what they're showing. That's what they're talking about. And as somebody who has been in this state for over 20 years, as a Chicago fan, I've seen the ugliness of Wisconsin fans. I've seen it. I've dealt with it from sixth grade, plenty on. And I had never had this thought before because I've been so close to it. What our caller is saying. Like, well, the only time they seem to talk about this, like, when I'm watching an Arizona Cardinals game and I see half of the fans are Packer fans, or I'm watching a game in Tampa Bay and it's a baseball game between the Brewers and the Rays, and no Rays fans are showing up for a first place team, but there's tons of Brewers fans there. You see this with the Badgers every time they're in a bowl game. It doesn't matter if the game's in Alaska. You're going to see half of the fan base is Wisconsin Badger fans. Like, I've seen this for over 20-some years. I've seen it my whole life. And I've been so close to it, I never realized how much our caller is right, that the national fan base, the only time they look over here is when they got some drama to talk about. Otherwise,
right. They
never give respect to this fan base. And again, you guys know, I don't have to repeat who I'm from, where I'm from and all that. And I'm saying this as that person. Like, the Wisconsin fan does not get the respect they deserve. They don't. The dedication to the team. There is no. I talk about this all the time with Halas and Lombardi. That there is no Packers or Bears without the other. And that they both needed each other and everything. But it starts with the fans. Like, I mess that up every time. You have no teams without the fans. There is no smallest market in all of professional sports throughout the whole world without the fans.
Well, there's no Green Bay Packers if they didn't have that fan base back in the 1920s because they floated the team several times.
It's easy to look at the last 20 years and say, well, of course they had a fan base. They had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two Super Bowls, et cetera, et cetera. I'm talking about before that, what Randy's talking about there, like that kept this fan, that kept this team in Green Bay before the NFL, because we've all seen reports, but we know that there's even more to that than when those lean years, the NFL was leaning on the Packers to move that team. They wanted that team moved. There's a different parallel universe where that team's not in Green Bay anymore. They're in, you know, whatever, Mark Albuquerque. They're, you know, wherever. So, again, coming back to the fan base that does not seem to get the respect. And I'm not just talking about Packer fans. I mean, Wisconsin fans in general. I wanted to go there with this conversation. It's easy to go to the jilted lover. It's easy to go to the ugliness of all of this. I think that there's room for that, but I feel like that's been covered. I'd like to focus on that part of it and what the next job is. I mean, who the next guy is. Enough with Council. That storyline's going to play out for 162 games. Who's the next guy? That's what I'm more interested in, and I'm curious to know if the Brewer fans are as well.
Well, on my end of it, I mean, I don't know, because granted, some of the reports you hear out there, it was just time that Council just felt like it was time for him to leave. But, I mean, just the last couple of years, from the Hader trade to the Corbin Burns arbitration, and not, you know, bringing in, you know, low-end names, you know, guys that are on their downfall, it just shows that the ownership group doesn't really want to put money into this team. And I think we mentioned this last week. I mean, if I would want to be a part of a team, why would I want to go somewhere that they're going to make promises and not come through?
You were in first place in the division, and you traded one of your best closers ever.
Exactly.
I mean, I couldn't agree more.
Money.
Yeah.
And not say it wasn't money. You know, but, you know, kind of where you go on, like we were talking about with the fan base, just think back to, you know, the last 30 years, you know, just starting with Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't with the Packers, though. You could almost go back as far as Barry Alvarez taking over the football program in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. We have been spoiled for 35 years in the state of Wisconsin because of what started with Barry, then went with Brett, then went with Aaron. You got Giannis in Milwaukee, but even before that, you Glenn Robinson actually brought, you know, a winning culture back to mm-hmm. Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. What Craig Council has done with the Brewers. I mean, we as Wisconsin sports fans have been spoiled, and now we're just everybody's because we're so spoiled, are getting frustrated with everything going on because some of our teams are not playing very well this year or the last couple of years.
I really respect the self-awareness of that answer, you know, because I think it's being honest while at the same time understanding the hurt. Like, I think both things can be true. You can be hurt and feel it and also have some perspective and be like, wow, at least I didn't grow up in Arizona. You know, at least I'm not a Cleveland Browns fan. I wasn't born in Ohio. Outside of the, you know, Buckeyes, who don't necessarily win either. they just get close. It could be worse. It could be worse. You don't have to look very far, as Randy's joke earlier about Minnesota as far as championships go, or a little bit down south in my state where, you know, we haven't had a quarterback. I was hopeful about Cade McNown as a kid, for God's sake. The perspective is important, I think, here. To the idea of who could be next in that uniform and managing your Brewers in the 24 season, it looks like Pat Murphy is the one that is in the most serious of contention right there, bench right. coach, which is part of the which makes more sense to me of why you would try to keep that bench, that coaching staff, and not a it didn't seem like a spite move to me. It felt like at first, like your first reaction would be, oh, it's a spite move. They don't want Council. They have his team. It makes more sense, something like this, if you were going to hire Pat and, you know, raise him up, he's probably going to want that coaching staff with him that he's already familiar with and everything. That would make a lot more sense. I'm not sure if that's what the Milwaukee fan wants. I think that we're looking for a big name, or we're looking for something that's going to bring headlines or even make Cub fans jealous. I don't know. But I do think that that's a smart move if that's what they go with. It seems like it, at least.
You know, here's a question. Go ahead. I was just going to say, here's a question for both of you. Do you think that they start talking to some of the Brewers, you know, superstars, so to speak, and say, you know, is there somebody that you think would be a good fit here? Because you hear that so much nowadays. You know, they talk to, like, if they consult with Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or whomever it might be, that who they want on their team or who they want for a coach. You think that's going to start happening with the Brewers as well?
Mm-hmm. Well, you kind of seen that with the Bucks with Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of talk there. I mean, I know basketball is a little bit different because there's just, you know, yeah, you can have one or two stars on your team and be a championship contender. But do they ask the players? I don't know. I mean, do you think a Don Mattingly would come to Milwaukee? Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, he went and coached in Miami. I mean, I get that.
Yeah, I think Mattingly would take a job anywhere, to be honest. I think he would.
I mean, or you know, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you got Murphy, but I was just kind of surprised that, you know, his name was on the top of the list, because I would really thought that he was going to go with Craig.
Well,
because I thought those two are pretty good friends. You know,
they're either looking at the nowadays for managers of baseball teams, they're either looking at their bench or they're looking at retirement homes. And I'm not trying to be mean by saying that, but Ron Washington just got a job. Well, Ron Washington has been collecting Social Security for 10 years. Lou, what's Lou Piniella doing? This is the move in baseball right now. You either get the kid in his early 30s who has maybe a little bit of connection to the team or not, maybe a tiny bit of managerial experience, or you grab this 70-year-old. Or you do what the Mets did, and you just grab somebody that nobody in the world would have thought that you'd grab. And even the Yankees themselves are kind of shaking their heads like, really, our guy? Like, really? All right, if you want him, you can have him. I don't know. We'll see what the Brewers do. We'll certainly be here to talk about it. Anything else from you, sir?
No, just, you know, before you get Coach Paul on there, you know, like I said, mentioned before, both hockey teams are number one in the country for college hockey.
Yeah.
But I had an opportunity to go to the game on Saturday, to the River Kings game. I mean, I try not to go when they play the Ducks, because then when they play the Ducks, it's not gonna. I mean,
yeah,
it's not gonna be a pretty game. I mean, they pretty much mop the floor with those guys, but pretty good team. They're big. I mean,
yeah.
They're big.
Yeah,
you know, they got a couple six. You got what, 6'4", 6'6", kid. You know, and a 6'6" kid, 200. I mean, they're big, and I'm pretty impressed. So, I mean, I'm sure I'm going to be going to a few more River Kings game, but it was a good. I mean, good weekend for them. I mean,
think 120
and the fans.
Oh,
600 some fans there on Saturday night.
Yeah,
wild. And in two games, 123 shots on goal.
Oh yeah,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it was. I mean, they were peppering the net a little bit. I mean, they're in the third period. I mean, it kind of felt bad for the Ducks goalie. I mean, he took one right square in the helmet. It pretty much knocked his helmet off, and he kind of looked at everybody and then fell to the ice. A little bit of a scary moment there, but he was able to get off on his own power. But yeah, he was that. I just can't imagine. You know, you sit there and see, you know, a lot of these one-timers come. I mean, that was one of the group I was with. They were talking about it, how fast the puck comes off those sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine going to seeing the one-timers coming off from an NHL guy and how fast that puck
is
coming.
God, yeah.
Unbelievable,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and these guys were junior hockey. You know, some of these kids are 16, that 21 years old. These guys, and that puck was flying on some of those shots that they were making. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's incredible to see the size of these guys, and then you put them on 6-inch skates. You know, that's just incredible.
And it's just crazy too. You know, even when you start at the high school level, some of those guys, the talent that they have, and you know that they go on to the Division I, right?
Yeah.
And just every level, how that must be crazy trying to be a goalie, stopping those things. The reflexes those guys have is incredible.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to watch. It's a beautiful sport.
I would actually tell you the truth. I would love to compare a goalie to a catcher in baseball.
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
What they have to go. I mean, granted, baseball. I mean, that ball. If they get foul tip, you know, how much their bodies get beat up between the two, you know, positions.
And just think of the flexibility of those goalies. How they are able to spread out. Oh my goodness.
When they spread out like that, you just kind of cringe and it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
I want to recover from that.
Still be lame.
Yeah. We're going to talk some more hockey with Coach Paul in just a little bit. Before we go to break, I want to ask both of you, have you ever had somebody dislike you and want you out of the room or the building or whatever it is so bad that they'd pay you $77.5 million just to go away?
I'm talking about Jimbo.
All right, Jimbo Fisher, Jimbo, getting us a $77 million buyout from Texas A&M, during which his last game at halftime, they handed out like a big one of those big novelty checks to the university. I think it was like a check to themselves or something for like $160 million. So Jimbo Fisher had to have been thinking when he's seeing that go down, like, okay, well, there's my buyout. I guess this is where I go. I guess I'm done coaching here. I saw a stat before we go to break. Jimbo Fisher will be paid more to not coach than Jameis Winston has been paid to play in the NFL.
Oh, wow.
That's just insane. I've had some bad breakups in my life. I've never had anybody dislike me that much. I don't know. I felt a little better after seeing that, actually. I was like, well, some of my breakups weren't that bad.
Actually, I'd kind of like to
be.
Right.
I actually kind of was given that because when we hosted for the Raptors, we had a couple players from A&M, Texas A&M, that played there, and we hosted them. And one of the parents I messaged yesterday, and I said, "How is that feeling?" He goes, "About time."
Yeah, ooh. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So. They're ready to get rid of him.
Yeah, yeah, that was a bad deal right from the get. That's just a bad contract.
They just passed the hat around the stadium and said,
"Yes, yeah." No. Well, oil money, you know. I mean, oil.
There you go.
They probably literally could do that, Randy, and come up with the 77. Like, they probably could have. Always good talking to you, sir. You have a good week.
All right, you guys have a good week, too.
See ya.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the fourth period. That is where we'll be talking with GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, joining us in just a few right here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers, November 13th, 2023, on the dot. Got your host, James. I'm joined by Randy Paul. And it is time for the fourth period, where we are going to be sitting back and talking a little hockey with our good friend, GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Pacman. Coach, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time. And I appreciate you being able to have the energy for this after the weekend you have had, sir. I appreciate you being able to be here today and everything. We'll get you an IV if you need or anything like that. Busy weekend. I want to start with the games. First, of course, the home opener, and getting into some of the stats that I got from the games. We had two wins. We got five majors, some ejections, a Zamboni. Let's get into the whole weekend. First off, you guys were touching on something actually where I wanted to start, and that's the fans. And our caller started on it too. I wasn't able to be at the games this weekend, but I was able to hear them because I was in Wisconsin. That's how loud our fan base is. That's how crazy our fan base is. How good did that feel, Coach, being away from the from your home ice for so long, and not only getting to come back, but getting to come back to that crowd?
Well, that's, you know, I mean, it's a tremendous feeling. It's, these kids are so excited. They hear about it. A lot of them have never experienced anything like that. So to have, I mean, this was a record-breaking home opener. You know, you're talking about over 600. Both nights were well over 600 people. And that's just, obviously, that's a tremendous advantage for us, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of every other team loves coming here to play here because of the environment that our community brings. So, it was tremendous.
Home opener, we beat the Ducks 7-2. You don't see that many hockey games with a 7-goal game, let alone a home opener like that. What was working Friday night?
Well, I think, you know, when you play so many on the road, right, I mean, you get to iron out a lot of the kinks and trying to find the right chemistry of certain guys in here. So, and that, and with the adrenaline and the emotion coming in the home opener, some guys were just clicking. And then you got the new guy, SJ Compt, kicks in a hat trick, right, in his first.
I really like that kid.
Yeah, he's a good player. So, and it just feeds off of it. Everybody feeds off of that energy, and, you know, you get a couple in a row like we did in that first period. I just kind of take a deep breath, relax, and we just go play, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Night two, we wrap up the series for the weekend in the home opener with a 6-2 victory over the Ducks, a little similar from the night before. Again, what did you like about that one? What stood out to you about that game?
Well, the fact that we dealt with all the penalties that we were handed out, right? So how we handled that, and we didn't just cave in. Mm-hmm. We didn't allow any of that. So we got a chance to work on our penalty killing a little bit more than usual. So I was happy with the result of that, not giving up too many, and to be able to respond when things were kind of looking shaky for a little bit, and they were hanging around long enough just to aggravate me, right? And then, yeah. And then, okay, we got going here, and just kicked it into third gear and took off. So we're very deep. I mean, we have a deep lineup, and we had a couple guys not even playing this weekend, injury, whatever. And so we were fortunate enough to get it. I wanted to get everybody in. I wanted everybody to experience all that. For the most part, we were able to do that. So it was good.
And I was going to ask you that. With that deep of a team, is that both a blessing and a curse?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult, yeah, right? Yeah. It's difficult to, because, you know, you're worried about matchups, you this and that against certain teams. But in certain situations, is, you know what, you got to get these kids in. And they're here for a reason. We got to get them playing time. We got to get them experience, mm-hmm. right? And at the same time, you want to make sure you're putting guys in positions to be successful. And if certain guys maybe play more than others. Like in the Moose, it was different. One guy didn't get to play all weekend because it just wasn't a good matchup, I felt. And that's stuff that we discuss in our player meetings every week. You know, why? You know, my job is to put you in position to be successful. And if I don't think that's going to be something that's going to be available, then maybe we don't get a shot this weekend, that kind of thing. So and when you have that many guys on your roster, you have to constantly – it's a juggling act, right? It's, you know, guys get hurt, guys get, you know, do stupid stuff, right? And there's a lot of things that – so you got a lot of moving pieces, right? You got to try to keep everybody happy, and at the same time, you got to keep winning, right? So
last year, noticed that one of the things that stood out to me about your coaching style is aggression, offensively, defensively, making sure that you're going to know you played a River Kings team. Yeah, and I think that a lot of us old hockey heads love that. We like seeing that and everything. But that's also something that you've got to gauge. You can't go 100 miles an hour 24/7, especially in hockey. How do you do that with these guys? Especially, you know, getting out of a period, you're ahead. You've got momentum on your side. You're at home. Everything's rolling. Keeping them focused, keeping that aggression, staying hungry.
Right. It's difficult. It's a mindset, right? You have to have them envision, you know, listen, 0-0. So it's done, it's done, it's 0-0, win 20 minutes. That's all we want, 20 minutes at a time, right? So forget about what happened. Whether you're up or down, keep them focused at the task at hand. We got to work on this, focus on this. What's your offensive zone coverage, making sure the guys are in the right position, making sure defense isn't getting caught. You know, make sure you got forward supporting. So you got to keep hammering it in, right? It's just like anything else. The more you tell these kids, the sooner or later it's going to stick, right? So yeah. I think that's the approach I take.
When it comes to, you know, last year's team to this team, certainly you have another year of not only being able to scout, recruit, and bring in your guys, and not to say that last year wasn't your guys, but, you know, even more experience, so you got more connections, being able to bring in more. This feels like a real U team. Is that how it's feeling to you? Is that how you, especially early on in the season and everything?
I'm happy with what we got. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, last year's team was special too, right?
Yeah,
because we were all brand new. Right? Mm-hmm. But this is we have 9 or 10 returners, so they've been through the cycle once, right? So they understand, and those are a lot of our leaders. And then you got the new guys that just buying in what we're doing and things that we preach. So I like the commitment. I like the effort. That's something we talk about all the time. And those are the two ingredients that are going to make us successful. So.
And now you've been home for just 2 games, and now you're back on the road Saturday through Monday for 4.
Yeah. It's, you know, showcases are important. I mean, these are where you get to play teams you normally don't see, and there's still 2 points on the line every night. So you gotta do your homework, and you got to know what you're up against, and that's what we're doing this week, is looking at some video, especially against the first game, which is Chicago Cougars, seeing what they're all about. And, you know, it's a tough 4 games. I mean, there's no question about it. And that's what we talked about in practice. The mindset starts now. This is what we need to do all week long to make sure that we go there and we have a good showing, because it's not, we can't do all this and be 11-3-2 and go in there and lay an egg and go 0-4. I mean, that's just not acceptable. So we gotta, you know, you gotta come out with even a split or more. As far as I'm concerned, that would be successful for us.
And you know, you play Saturday, you play Sunday, and then it's 2 on Monday.
Yeah.
That's where that depth is a blessing, right?
Yeah. That's why you have 30 guys on a roster, right? I mean, we're at 27. And we're not done yet, right? You know, we're still looking at people, and this is a team that I think can go very, very far. And I think we're 1 or 2 pieces away from it. And I have people, you know, you talk about connections and all that stuff, so we're constantly talking and looking. But I like what we got, and it is, because guys going to get hurt, guys going to get sick. And you got to be able to put those guys in, and we have a lot of plug-and-play guys that – I mean, we're so deep, which makes it exciting. At the same time, it is kind of a headache. But you need that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way you can play in this league and go this deep, you know, with 2 lines. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to happen. So.
Follow your River Kings at riverkingshockey.com. You go there, you can see the schedule that I'm looking at right now. And to Randy's point, just the details, the November 18th, Chicago Cougars, River Kings facing off. That'll be at 7:30. The next night, Fort Wayne Spacemen, great name, by the way. That's a good name. River Kings facing off at 1:30 on that one. And then the very next day, Toledo Cherokee, 7:30 a.m., and then the MJDP at 1:30. So those games right there. That's an insane schedule. But it's so important, because why would you do this? Why would you go, you as players or you as a coaching staff and all that, and you hit it right on the head before we said anything else, showcase. This is an opportunity for these kids, and as much as we want to chip and all these other things, that's what it all comes down to. And I talked about this before you joined us to start the season, really, Coach. Talking to you, those players, the coaching staff, that's it, like, I've never been around an organization that where everybody's not only on the same page, it's an organic thing. Like, everybody just naturally feels that way. It wasn't like I got okay, if he asked me this question, I should answer this. Everybody organically is like, yeah, that's what our goal is. That's what we want. Yeah, we want to win. We love winning, et cetera, et cetera. We want these kids to be able to move on. And for the kids, they even want that for you as coaches, and they want that as this for the city. Like, it's a really unique thing to be able to have. With that being said, we'll have you back in town coming up to take on the Steel County Blades on December 1st, which also is a programming note, means that's the next time Coach will join us for this fourth period, and looking forward to that. I take a look at the schedule or the standings here too. We are just 3 points away from top of the standings. It's got to feel pretty good. Looking at what I was saying with the schedule and the upcoming games, including the Steel County games. The next time we talk, what are you hoping to have your team? Where are you hoping to have your team at? Not standings wise necessarily, but where they are as a team, as a chemistry, as a unit.
Well, I want everybody to you know, the same goals in mind, right? So what are we looking to achieve here? So we talk a lot about that at the beginning of the season. You know, what's the end game here? What's the goals? Everybody's got their individual goals, and some guys are aging out, and they want to go to college, and they want to do this. Some guys are younger, and they want to go to high-level juniors and this and that. But what are we looking to accomplish here, right? In order to go, and we have a board in our room, in our locker room, and it's called Road to Nationals. And every time we win, we write it on the puck, the team that we beat, the win number, who's the starting goalie, who got the game-winning goal, and what's the score, and we fill the holes. And there's 44 holes on that board. So every win, we take a puck and we fill the hole, right? So that gives these guys incentives, motivation, right? So what are we doing this for? Because every day before you walk out of that door to go onto the ice, we're going to the Road to the Nationals, right? So we have to make sure that we're committed to it, and that's everybody, right? You're as strong as your weakest link, right? So I say it a lot, strength comes in numbers, and we lock arms a lot, and we talk about that, because that's the only way it's going to get done, right? The goal is to make sure that everybody is on the same page and they understand that. Because if you start drifting from that, you know, you better hope that your teammates are going to grab you and pull you back in. Because if you left out, you're going to miss a hell of a ride.
Yeah.
You know, so.
We've had a hell of a time, Hawk, hanging out with you, Coach. Thank you so much for the time. Know how busy you are. Do us a favor. Tell that coaching staff, those boys over there, thank them for us for a great weekend and safe travels to all of you. And we're looking forward to having you back here real soon.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
We'll take a quick break, but you can find out more. You don't have to break at all. Go to RiverKingsHockey.com. If you don't already have it bookmarked, get it bookmarked. Keep up to date on all your River Kings information. Follow them on social media and help the Kings build hockey up and down the river. We'll take a quick break, come back with more Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Randy and James here with you, and a big, big, big thank you to Coach Paul Peckman for joining us there. That was a lot of fun.
Got it. Fun having him in, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's a good time. Honestly, even if he wasn't like the GM and the coach over there, I'd still bring him in here to talk hockey like all the time. Like, I don't care. We'd find a way to pay him. We'd figure it out.
It's like you got three questions lined up, and you're like, oh, my goodness, it's almost 4 o'clock. We got to go.
Yeah, you're so right, man. I had like three more questions for him and everything. Like, we've only got so much of a show, and he's got other things to do. But we do appreciate the time from Coach. We also appreciate you, Randy, and all the great local coverage that you get us. Do you mind if we go right there for now?
Let's do that. Let's start off with some high school football action, level 4 of the playoffs on Friday night, with all of the winners headed to Camp Randall to play for the state championships this Thursday and Friday. Start off in Division 1, where 8th-ranked Marquette upset number 4 Kimberly 14-7, and number 2 Franklin, well, they just keep on smashing their way through the playoffs as they demolish Sussex Hamilton 35-0. That should be a good matchup that game for the championship. Division 2 saw 2nd-ranked Wanakee oust number 4 Kaukauna 24-14, while number 3 Badger stopped 8th-ranked Sun Prairie East 28-6. And in Division 3, number 6 Rice Lake upset number 3 Green Bay Notre Dame 30-15, and in a game between a couple of unranked squads, Grafton slipped past Stoughton 17-6. So those three will square off on Friday. That'll start at 10 a.m. with the Division 3, and then 2, and then 1. Thursday's matchups will also begin at 10 a.m. First, it will be Division 7, where the Edgar Wildcats are back at Camp Randall. They'll face Blackhawk Warren, the team that knocked out Assumption last year, as 2nd-ranked Edgar beat Bangor, who was ranked number 5, 21-3, and 7th-ranked ranked Blackhawk upset number 4 and undefeated Reidsville 36-7. Division 6 also will follow Division 7 game as 4th ranked Stratford topped number 6 Grantsburg 35-12. So Edgar and Stratford both heading down to state. And number 3 Kewaunee was taken down by number 5 Darlington 34-28. Next up will be Division 5 as top-ranked Aquinas blows out unranked Horicon Houstiford. I love their combination of school. They call them Housticon.
Oh, that's good.
I like that.
That's good.
That was a blowout, too. 58-14. Aquinas is tough. And number 4, Wrightstown there, just about 12 miles from my hometown over there by Appleton area. They spanked St. Croix Falls 33-12. And then the last game on Thursday features Division 4, where top-ranked Catholic Memorial was upset by unranked Luxembourg Casco 23-21 as they kicked a last-second field goal. And number 2, Lodi blew by Baldwin Woodville 49-29. The state championship for eight-man football was held right here in Wisconsin Rapids on Friday afternoon as Florence caps off a perfect season, topping Thorpe 32-30 on a one-yard touchdown run with 7:29 to go. It was the first ever appearance at state for both teams, and it was played in front of a record-breaking crowd right here in Wisconsin Rapids. 1,459 folks showed up for that contest.
Nice.
Also for the girls, the Hodags of Rhinelander captured the Division II Swimming and Diving State Championship down in Waukesha. They took first place in 6 out of 12 events. It's the second state crown for Rhinelander, who easily outdistanced Whitefish Bay and Madison Edgewood. In Division I, it was Middleton taking the crown, with Verona coming in second, and defending champion Arrowhead finishing in third place. And of course, we could talk about lots of other local area things as far as state goes, and we kind of touched on it a little bit already with the Badgers. Ooh, you know, the Badgers, the final score of 24-10, that's what they lost to number 1 Ohio State by.
Yeah, it's weird.
And you lose to Northwestern by the same score. That snapped a 14-game road losing streak for Northwestern. Third straight loss for the Badgers, down 24-3 at the break. Gave up 10 first downs in a row in the first half on third down. Yeah, it was just Braylon Allen, only a couple plays, his ankle still bugging him. He had 3 carries for 3 yards, that was it. So, you know, again, Tanner Mordecai came back, tried to do his best. He was 31-45 for 255, but they have to try to right the ship against Nebraska as they're at home against the Cornhuskers, 6:30 on Saturday. They're 5-5 right now. They got to get a W when they get in a bowl.
Right, right. This is the bowl. That's what this game. You're already in the playoffs. You're already in the playoffs if you're a Badger fan. If you're a Badger player, you're looking at winning. You got to win these next two games. Even if you do win against Nebraska, you got to win that next one for any other reason. Then I know how silly it may seem, but momentum for next year.
Yeah.
Same thing with the bowl game. You want a bowl game just for any for another opportunity to show yourself to recruits, to the nation that you're going to be a team that's going to be reckoned with coming up here. Colorado's in the same position. You know, the early press that Colorado got early on, where everybody in the world will look what Deion's doing. How come they can't do it? Well, now everybody's doing the same thing Deion's doing, losing.
Yeah.
You know, and it just proves it's no matter how great you are, you can be the most charismatic coach possibly in college football history. In college football history, he might be, and be relevant to these kids. To a point where they don't have to look up, you know, and see some grainy footage of you playing or something like that. Like, it's on ESPN their whole lives. All of that being said, and you still need to be able to recruit. You still need to build a full team. You've got to, it's not enough to have starters. What happens when those kids go down? Who's next man up? That's where the real power is in college football. It's not just that Nick Saban in Alabama can have a 4-star recruit backing up for 3 years and want to and not leave, but it's also the power that they had over that stuff that they couldn't, that there was no transfer portals and everything. It's going to be interesting to see going forward how that plays out. We're seeing it already in Clemson.
Yeah.
Clemson's had some nice wins. They've also had some really bad losses this year because they've had some injuries, because they've had some, you know, the next man up thing.
I don't think they're even ranked, are they?
No, I don't believe so, no. So it's Wisconsin's no different than anybody else. They got to grow and learn and bring in their own guys and all this. And if you're a Wisconsin fan, I still trust in Fleck. I still – I'm Not Fleck, Fickell. I was just reading a thing on PJ Fleck and his buyout. I was just looking at his buyout because I'm wondering how quickly that's going to happen with the Jimbo Fisher stuff and a couple of other coaches losing their jobs. Fickell, who by the way doesn't have nearly as bad of a buyout, just in case 3 years from now that comes up. But that is 3 years from now. That's not he's not going anywhere anytime soon. And you ought to be happy you are that he's not either, because you can't get to the mountaintop without some struggle. Like, you've got to have these things. And that's what you're going through right now, is if you're a Badger fan. To our caller's point earlier, you know, we had it pretty good for a long time in the Barry Alvarez years, and even some years after that, and some nice wins here and there. Is that enough? Or do you want what I keep wanting to call him a GM. AD McIntosh did with this move, and like, okay, do we want to win a Big Ten West title? Or do we want to win a national title? Because that's what he's going for with this move. That's what this is all about. It's not about winning the West. It's not about making a nice bowl game. That's good right now. But years from now, that's what the hope is. And so, to me, I'm still happy if I'm a Badger fan. It's frustrating. I'm yelling at the TV and blah, 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 and all that. But I'm not, like, burning my jersey. I'm not, like, you know, losing my mind over this. I would think it's pretty, if you look around the college football landscape, this is the way this works. This is how this happens, even with the transfer portal. In fact, I would be pretty excited if I'm a Badger fan on two levels. One, that there is still this part of college football that exists where you can't just build a team, make a team, and boom, there you go. But if your team's got a couple holes, you can fill those holes, and you can be a national championship contender in next season. Like, so there's a lot to look forward to if you're a Badger fan and you're in the run. You're in the national conversation now. I don't care about the record this year. With that coach and with the splash they made, no matter what happens the rest of this season, come next season and the top 25 comes out, Wisconsin, if they're not in that top 25, they'll be in the top 30 and they'll be talked about.
And it'll be interesting to see, too, because how short of a rope are they going to have with him? I know this year is a year of grace. It's not his own people. And everybody's frustrated because, you know, there are high hopes. And this, we were excited, at, you know, when it was the middle of summer the signings came down. We heard about this great offense. Just didn't quite click the way everybody had hoped. But I think if it goes a whole another year like this, then there'll be some consternation. We'll grow even more.
Yeah.
So once he starts getting in his own recruits and his own players, then we'll see if it gets turned around. Interesting to see what Braylon Allen does. Now, you know, he's been dinged up. Will he come back for a final year at Wisconsin? Will he go somewhere else? I've already heard rumors of, you know, like they were last year, going to Michigan or something. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with him. Lots of things that just run through your mind when you talk about the 30 years of greatness that we've had, and all the great names that you think across all the sports. You know, there's, you think of like Don Nelson, for crying out loud.
Right.
He's got things going way back years ago. Whoa, Nelly, right?
Yeah.
And, we have been very blessed with lots of good teams here in the last. Just think, there are some states that don't even have any teams.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So they have to just, you know, vicariously live through us.
Yeah.
Right? So for us to be able to put this together. And you think about the Packers, too. Interesting comments somebody made yesterday during the Packer game. Not only do we have a young quarterback, we got young wide receivers.
Yep.
It's just a young team. I was kind of excited about our two defensive backs, Valentine and Ballantyne, yesterday. Mm-hmm. I thought they did a fine job. I mean, you know, they weren't going against Joe Montana or anything, but they still did an admirable job yesterday. So, you know, the unit's going to grow and has to get better, and a little disappointed with the run defense again yesterday. They had been so solid the last 2 weeks, but, you know, part of that, I think, was not having our linebacker there yesterday, whose name is escaping me, of course, right now.
Oh, Rashawn Gary?
No.
I know you're talking about Quay Walker.
Quay Walker, yes. Yeah. So without him, you know, he makes a difference in the middle. You know, he gets to the ball. He's a tough player, and we didn't have him yesterday, so I think that made a big difference in the middle as well. But, you know, just got to grow and see what happens from there. And I think, you know, we now sit there and we go into a Packer game, don't expect to win. You know, I that's just me. You always expected to win when you had Favre and Rodgers. Now I'm at the point where, like, I don't expect to win.
Yeah.
It's fun if we do win, and we're right on the edge of our seats yesterday. You know, we got that fourth down where we maybe can throw it in the end zone, get a little, you know, touchdown and win that game. You know, something didn't get talked about a little bit was that blocked extra point. The blocking was so bad on that. that so Patrick bad. Peterson didn't even, you know how those guys coming off the edge, they dive to block it? You know, he almost ran through and got hit in the head.
I saw like three plays in sports this weekend. Like, that's it. And that was one of them. I just happened to have the TV on, look at that play when it went down, and just was dumbfounded by who's the special teams coach that allows that to happen.
And somebody told me that the person who didn't block that, Peterson on that one, did not block, and he was out of the game for special extra points and field goals after that.
I believe it. Yeah.
So,
Wrapping up the Badger talk, the Badgers, of course, taking on Nebraska this weekend and at Camp Randall, final game of the season at Camp Randall. And as we, Randy and I were touching on, this is bowl eligibility on the line. You're going to up against two new coaches, Matt Rhule and Fickell, going up against each other here. So you've got a standard that you want to set there and that rivalry that's going to probably build.
And then they got the X game the following week in Minnesota.
Right, right. And that, yeah, in Minnesota, yeah. And that two get-right games, not get-right by, I mean, like you're playing easy teams, but teams that if we come next Monday and they've won that game, it's not going to shock us. It's not going to shock us maybe if they lose it either, though. So there's that part. When we come back, I do want to talk some Packers with you, Randy. And we'll wrap up talking a little bit of random facts about Roberto Clemente out of nowhere. Coming up on the right here at Playmakers at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning, WFHR's Playmakers here for you, Randy and James. We've got about 7-8 minutes left to show. Go ahead and give us a call, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Whatever you want to talk sports-wise, we will talk it. Randy, we were you were leaning into a little bit of Green Bay, of some Packer talk. Packers this Sunday noon got the Chargers coming to town.
They lost a tough one to the Lions yesterday.
Chargers have had 100 games in the last, I think they would, the stat was 20 years or whatever, down the one score games. I saw that stat and I actually thought it should be more. Like, I feel like all of Philip Rivers' life has been that. Not just like his pro career, but like when he was playing high school football in Texas, was the games were like that. Like every game Philip Rivers ever played. And it seems like that's the case for a lot of these games nowadays. One of the things that I think that stands out with the Green Bay season right now is the not only the fan base and where they are, but where the organization is. And it's no secret. They've got to make some decisions. And those decisions, Jordan Love could go on and have an all-pro season the rest of the season, and you're still going to have decisions to make. What I don't think, and I haven't heard a lot of people talk about yet, that I think is going to be very interesting is we're getting into the heart of the season now, and we're going to get to the last quarter of the season before we know it, because this all goes by too darn fast. You're going to be in a decision where, well, wait a minute, we may have a top five draft pick here. We may have a top five, top certainly a top seven draft pick.
Bears will have a couple.
Right, yeah, the Bears got two. And I'm glad you bring that up, because there is a chance that Chicago may be with those two spots and not looking for a quarterback. That could happen. If that's the case, and you are Green Bay, and I know you got Jordan Love sitting there, but if a Drake May, a Caleb Williams, any of these kids, Michael Penix, like all of the, any of those guys are sitting there, it ain't just the hope and the potential that those young men have. It's the first-year contract that they have. And you look at Jordan Love, and you're not sure what you got there. You really are going to be in a very difficult situation if you are that front office and making a decision. Or, to the fans out there, is it a difficult decision? Because I'm hearing from people that are like, I'm not just talking like actual sports reporters in this state that seem to be done with Jordan Love already, and I feel like that's a little too early, but I don't begrudge it. I get it. I think you sometimes you know what you got. For every, like, there, it's just so seldom that a Marcus Mariota or Ryan Tannehill or one of these guys who do not work out with their original team move on and are great on another team. Like, because even those examples I give you, we're not talking all pros here. We're talking that they were just better than they were at their original team, which was a pretty low bar. I feel like you're seeing this with Jordan Love play out in front of you right now.
I think what's frustrating is how many teams miss on these things, because you see a guy that gets signed on a Tuesday by the Vikings and he comes in and he wins a game last week and he does pretty darn good yesterday. And you're like, how can this happen? I mean, we've got like, this is your job to scout these people, you know, and these top people that are drafted end up to be, you know, busts. And then here's some third stringer that, well, we'll pick him off the waiver wire, know, and all this. He looks good. Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at our guys after 4 years and you're going,
Well, and I'm curious, too, because while all the microscope is on Jordan Love, I feel like it should be on Matt LaFleur as well and that coaching staff. Like, I know that the fall guy here is Barry, all right? He's the one that's going to be – he's gone any day now. There's no way he's coaching for this team in 24. Because there's a little bit of a season that plays into the 24 season, there will be, I guess. Well, technically, yes, he will be, but maybe not. Maybe he gets fired before then. I don't know. It's not an organization that usually does that kind of thing, but you got a team here with so much put into that defense, so many high draft picks, so much money put into it. It's not so much a fall guy at the end of the day. Somebody's got to take responsibility for this and be like, all right, this is on me. I'm gone. You know, you got to fire me. I'm not saying he's going to ask for that, but when it happens, he can't be too surprised.
Yeah, and what's frustrating is they spent all those high draft picks on the defensive front. And they're just getting beat up, you know, in the running game.
Gashed.
You know, and then you have a possibility to take a T.J. Watt, and you pick a Kevin King, who I don't even know where he is.
I'm not even sure if he's in the league. I couldn't even tell you.
And then you watch a T.J. Watt, and you're like, and that's the guy we don't pick. You know? And that's what's really frustrating.
That is still one of the more shocking draft decisions I've ever seen.
Outside of Tony Mandridge instead of Barry Sanders.
I wasn't going to bring that up. Because I watched this so silly. I'm so silly about the NFL draft, and I watch it so religiously and everything. I remember that moment. And I used to write this stuff down or print it and everything just because back when we didn't have a ton of, like, you know, I couldn't just look it up online or whatever. And so sometimes I still do that instinctively. And I had written T.J. Watt for Green Bay. I had written him down as a Packer. I just thought for sure, well, how are they not going to draft this guy? It's a position they need. He's a Wisconsinite. Like, I don't understand.
Well, I remember.
Still don't understand.
When they played LSU, and LSU was like 5 in the country, and they played at Lambeau Field, and it was Vince Beagle and T.J. Watt, right? They're the linebackers for the Badgers. And, you know, T.J. Watt just wreaked havoc in the first half. And the second half, he kind of disappeared. Well, I taped it, so I watched it again. I'm like, well, no wonder they double-teamed him on every play in the second half because of what he had done in the first half. It's like, if anybody watched this, it would make sense, right?
We got to go, but I want to thank everybody for listening and playing along. Real quick, Roberto Clemente fact. On July 25th, 1956, he became the only player ever to hit a walk-off inside the park grand slam. Did it in a 9-8 win over the Cubs. Oh. Wonder how Pop felt on that one.
Yeah.
Thanks, Randy. Always appreciate you. And appreciate all of you out there, and a big appreciation to Coach Peckman for joining us. We'll have more playmakers for you next week right here on
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.